this week's parsha is Parshas Metzora, and then Parshas Metzora deals with the procedure that a Metzora has to do when he's finished with his Tzoras. Tzoras is a spiritual disease that manifested itself by physical discoloration of the skin. And according to the Gemara in Erichin, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph 16a, Tzoras came on a person when he transgressed some specific sins. The Gemara there says, Omar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani says, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Al Shiva Dvorim Negoim Boim, that this Tzoras, this disease, comes because of seven reasons. A Loshon Hara, on bad speech, when you speak derogatory remarks on somebody. Al Shfichas Damim, because of the sin of murder, meaning that you murdered somebody, you may get Tzoras because of that. Val Shvua Shav, on the sin of swearing falsely. Val Gilu Aroyes, on the sin of immorality. Val Gasa Zaruyach, on the sin of haughtiness. Val Gezel, on the sin of theft. Val Tzoras O'ayin, and because of the sin of a begrudging eye, meaning that you are jealous on what somebody else has. Because of any of those reasons, a person would get this Tzoras affliction. And even though the Gemara says there are seven reasons, and the Medrash adds three more, but the main reason for Tzoras is the sin of Lashon Hara, of you speaking derogatory remarks on somebody else, as you could see from Rashi. Rashi on chapter 14, verse number 4, where the pasuk says, "V'tzivo akoyan," the kohen should command, "V'lokach lamitayer," and it should be taken for the one who is being purified. "Shtei tziporim chayes toirois," two birds alive and clean, meaning kosher birds. Rashi explains why did they choose to have birds. Rashi says, "L'fish shanegoim boim aloshen hora," because this disease of Tzoras comes because of Lashon Hara, because of the derogatory remarks that you spoke on another person. Shehu masa pitputei dvarim, that this is an action of verbal twittering, meaning you excessively moved your mouth, therefore you ended up speaking bad about somebody. Lefikach, therefore, huske kulo tarasoi, they made it as a requirement for his purification. After the disease leaves and he wants to finish with that process, he's required to bring two birds. And the two birds are specifically because birds always are twittering. The birds are always chirping. Therefore, when he's finished with his process of Tzoras, we want to make sure that he knows why the Tzoras came by him bringing two birds. And he will understand that the reason that he has to bring two birds is because birds chirp and speak constantly. He too spoke excessively on somebody else, and he'll remember not to do it again. I am going to emphasize a couple of the steps that a Metzora has to do when he is ready to be purified. The procedure of the Metzora is very extensive, and we are just going to focus on two psukim. First, we're going to focus on pasuk number 3, where the pasuk says, "V'yotza kohen el michutz lamachna," the kohen should go outside the encampment, meaning that a metzora is required to leave all three encampments and is required to be there alone. The encampments are during the time of the Mishkan, where the Mishkan was considered machne kahuna, where the kohanim were. Around them were the Levim, that's Machne Leviya, and around them were the Israelim. So we had three encampments. A Metzora is required to leave all three encampments. When the Metzora is healed, then the pasuk says that the Kohen has to go outside all three encampments to look at the Metzora. Veroa Kohen, the Kohen will see. Vene nirpa neged atzoraz min hatzorua. And behold, it's healed, the affliction, from the Metzora, from the afflicted. It doesn't say that v'inanirpo nega atzoraz, doesn't say that just the affliction has been healed, or it doesn't say v'ena nirpa ha-metzoyra mina nega, the metzoyra was healed from his nega. It says the reverse. V'ena nirpa nega ha-tzoras, behold, it's healed the tzoras from the tzorua, from the metzoyra. We'll try to understand what is the Torah hinting by writing the sentence reversed. Because the normal way to say this sentence is that the person has been healed from the disease, not the disease has been healed from the person. Another question that we are going to ask is from the procedure of the Metzoyra. We see that the Kohen plays a principal role on the contamination or the purification of this Metzoyra, meaning that the Kohen is the one that sees the disease, he's the one that decides if this Metzoyra is Tome or not, and he's the one ultimately that has to declare this Metzoyra Tahar. Why is it so important that a Metzoyra go in front of a Kohen? Specifically, if the Kohen is not a doctor, what is the message for the Metzoyra that he has to go in front of the Kohen? One more question we will ask regarding the procedure of the Metzoyra is based on the Rashi on verse number 11, where there the Metzoyra brings a sheep and he brings a flour offering with oil, and then he brings a container of oil, and the Kohen stands them up in front of Hashem at the door of Oil Moed. So Rashi explains, what does it mean that the Kohen stands them up in front of Hashem? Rashi says that he sends them up in the Shar Niknor, in front of the gate of Niknor, as it's written in the Gemara in Soita Dav Zayin Amud Aleph 7a. The Sifse Chachamim explains that all other doorways in the Beis HaMikdash, they are all sanctified so much that even the hollow of the doorway was also sanctified. That a person with Mechusar Kippurim or a person that is Tameh cannot get in even to the hollow of the doorway. The thickness of the walls are also sanctified. Therefore, there was no possibility for anybody to go in into the hollow of the doorway. And since this Metzora, this person who is getting purified, is required to stick in into the Beis HaMikdash, his ear, his thumb, and his toe, because the Kohen has to place oil and blood on them, therefore they had to make that the doorway should not be sanctified, and the only doorway that was not sanctified is the Shar Niknor, which is in the east side of the Beis HaMikdash, and by him facing the Beis HaMikdash, then he's able to see the Heichal, therefore is considered Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Sefer Shemen Roish asks a question, if the rabbis sanctified all doorways of the Beis HaMikdash, why did they specifically pick that Shar Niknor should not be sanctified? Clearly, according to the way that the Torah prescribes the purification of the Metzoyra, one of the doorways of the Beis HaMikdash cannot be fully sanctified, meaning that the hollow of the door cannot be sanctified. And by the hollow, I mean the thickness of the door cannot be sanctified. Because since I have to put the ear of the Metzoyra inside the Beis HaMikdash, yet his body is outside, if the hollow of the doorway is sanctified, he cannot come into the hollow of the doorway. Then how is it possible for him to stick in his ear? Then obviously he stands under the lintel, under the doorpost, and he sticks in his ear. The question is, what's so special about this Shar Niknor, the gate of Niknor, that the rabbis decided that they should not be sanctified, and they made it available for the Metzoyra to come in this doorway? That the Metzoyra, in order to finish his purification process, has to stand by Shar Niknor. What is the message to this Metzoyra that we make him go specifically through Shar Niknor in order to become purified? Sefer Shemen Roish answers all this question first by introducing the Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, chapter 7, Halacha Beis. There the Rambam says, in his language, Loshon Hara, Hu amesaper bignus chaveroi, Loshon Hara is somebody who speaks the shame of his friend, afal pi she'oimer emes, even though what he is saying is true. Avol ho'oimer sheker, somebody who says lies, is not called that he's speaking Loshon Hara, hu nikra moitzi shemra al chaveroi. He's considered somebody who gives a bad name on his friend. This is the language of the Rambam. You see clearly from the Rambam that Loshon Hara is only when you are telling the truth, meaning if you are saying something derogatory against somebody and it is true, then you are speaking Loshon Hara. But if you are saying something derogatory and it is a lie, then it's considered Moitzi Shemra, somebody who does a libelous statement on somebody else, where that statement is a lie, but that is also prohibited, but that is not what we call the sin of Loshon Hara. Sefer Shemeroish says that according to this Rambam, we could understand why one of the symptoms of Tzoras is called Baheres, is called whiteness, from the word light and clear, because even though it's clear and it's true, nonetheless, it's Loshon Hara, and the person who spoke those things got this disease of Tzoras because he was clear and true. When you speak a derogatory remark on your friend, even though it's clear and true, that is considered Loshon Hara. Sefer Shemeroish continues and says that this is the weakness that we have, and the Yetzer Hara usually takes this weakness because we think that something that we saw with our own eyes, we are allowed to repeat it. Nonetheless, it is telling you that this is considered Loshon Hara. If it's derogatory against somebody else, it's considered Loshon Hara. And even though there are times that you are allowed to divulge and even required to divulge derogatory things on somebody else, nonetheless, you should know that those times are very limited, and those who want to know the particulars of when I could do this should consult the Chofetz Chaim, where the Chofetz Chaim gives you requirements that you have to qualify in order to speak those derogatory remarks on somebody else. Using this idea, Sefer Shemeroish interprets differently the Pasuk in Malachi chapter 2, verse 6, where the Pasuk is referring to Aharon HaKohen. There the Pasuk says, Toiras emes oiso befiu, that Aharon HaKohen had Torah of truth in his mouth, a rule of always saying the truth, the avla elonim tzabif sosov, and the avla, iniquity, was not found on his lips, b'shalom uvamishor olachiti, with peace and fairness he walked with me, v'rabim heishiv me'avoin, and a lot of people he turned away from sin. So Sefer Shemeroish takes the interpretation of this pasuk and says that this pasuk means to say something deeper. The pasuk means to say that normally Aharon HaKohen always spoke the truth. Toiras emes hoisa befiyo. Aharon HaKohen had a policy of always saying the truth. Because since we know that Aharon did avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and we know that when a person says lies, Hashem doesn't want in front of him, as the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kof Aleph, 101 verse 7 says, Doivre Shkorim, that those who speak lies, Lo Yikoin Leneged Einai, should not be established in front of my eyes, meaning that Hashem doesn't want somebody who speaks lies to be doing the work for him. And as the Gemara says in Soita, Daf Membeis Omedalev, 42a, Omar Rav Yerme Barabe. Rav Yerme Barabe says, Arba Kito is four classes of people. Eime Kablim Pnei Shechina. They cannot receive the divine presence. Which are they? Kat Leitzim, a class of scoffers, meaning somebody who makes fun of others. Kat Chanaifim, class of flatterers, somebody who flatters the other, even though he knows that the person doesn't deserve it. The Kat Shakorim, and a class of liars, the kat mesapri loshon hara and a class of those who speak loshon hara, we see clearly that if you lie, then you're not mekabel pnei Hashchina. Hashem doesn't want to do anything with you. And Ahar Nakoyen, since he was the one that did the service in the temple, he was always in the policy of Toiras Emes Oiso Befir, that he always spoke the truth. And not only did he always speak the truth, he taught other people always to speak the truth. But nonetheless, when it came time to speak something derogatory about somebody else, he would abstain from speaking. That's what it says. Ve'avla lo nimtza bisfosof, that in justice, when you're speaking a avla about somebody else, you would not find on his lips. He never spoke loshon hara. He never spoke derogatory remarks about somebody, even if it's true. When it came to speak avla, then he didn't speak Torah semes, and he would not speak loshon hara. Shem Arosh continues and says that the pasuk continues and tells you that you should not think that since Ahar Nakoyen would not speak derogatory remarks on another Jew, that means that he is flattering this Jew, that he is helping this Jew sin. Therefore, the Torah says that the whole motivation of Aharon was b'shalom, that he wanted peace, uvemishoir, and fairness, holachiti, walked with me, that even though he did not speak derogatory remarks against the person that sinned, nonetheless, verabim heishiv me'avoin, a lot of people he brought back from sinning. Furthermore, says Sefer Shemen Roish, we see that Ahar Nakoyen didn't tell the truth when it came to some derogatory remarks. He actually said a lie when it came to make peace between men and men, because the Mishnah in Avos Derav Nosson, chapter 12, Mishnah Gimel, there says that Ahar Nakoyen, when he saw two people fighting, he used to sit next to one of the people and he used to say that your friend is so sorry and so embarrassed and so contrite for what he did to you that he can't face you and he is too embarrassed even to ask your forgiveness. He feels so sad that he can't even approach you. And then he used to go to the other friend and say the same thing about this friend, that this friend we just finished speaking to, he's so sorry for what he did, he's so remorseful on causing you pain that he can't even face you. And then the two friends used to get together and they used to hug each other because each one assumed that the other one wanted to ask forgiveness. We see clearly that Ahar Nakoyen, in order to bring peace between man and man, lied outright and told them a lie that the friend is remorseful and feels bad about what he did, even though clearly it wasn't true. And maybe that's why the Torah calls his saying the truth as Torah's emes oiso befiyo, that there was a Torah of truth in his mouth. Not that emes oiso befiyo, that was truth in his mouth, was a Torah of truth in his mouth, meaning that since the ultimate for the Torah is shalom, is peace, then even when you are lying, but you are bringing the ultimate shalom, the ultimate truth to the world, then you are saying Torah's emes, you are saying Torah's of truth, even though what you are saying, the words you are saying, are lies. But nonetheless, the ultimate is to bring shalom between people, you are saying Torah's emes. And that could be the continuation of the pasuk, that the pasuk says, B'shalom uvemishor holach iti, that he walked with me in peace and fairness, because even though he was lying, since his ultimate goal was peace and fairness, therefore it was not considered a sheker, it was considered Torah's emes ha'isa befiv. It was tantamount as you would have said the truth. So we see clearly that Aharon sometimes said a lie in order to bring peace, and whenever he had to speak the truth to give derogatory remark on somebody, he would never speak. Furthermore, says Sefer Shemen Roish, that Negoim aren't like normal sicknesses, meaning there are certain sicknesses that have a predestination exactly of when they are going to be finished. Those sicknesses come because Hashem decreed, for whatever reason, that you deserve this kind of pain. Sometimes it is nothing that you did to cause it, but nonetheless, there are certain sicknesses that Hashem said that they will come automatically, and that is based on the Gemara, which analyzes the Pasuk in middle of the Toicheche, Devarim, chapter 28, Pasuk 59. It's written there, V'chaloim roim v'nemonim, and I'm going to send on you bad sicknesses and trustworthy. What does it mean, bad and trustworthy sicknesses? So the Gemara says that when a sickness comes on a person, Hashem makes that sickness swear when the sickness is going to leave, and by what doctor is going to leave, and by what medicine is going to leave. And that is the only way that sickness leaves, and that's why it's called bad sicknesses and trustworthy, because we know for sure that you could trust that they are going to leave in a certain time. But here in our case, according to the Gemara, since this sickness comes for the sin of Lashon Hara, and the Ramban clearly explains, when the Ramban discusses the afflictions of clothing in chapter 13, verse number 47, he says there that you should know, kinigia begodim einenu beteva klal v'lehave bo'ilam, that the afflictions on clothing, it's not a natural affliction, and it's something that never existed in the world. And the same thing applies to the nige batim, to the afflictions of the house. And he explains that because that when the Jewish people are complete with Hashem, then Hashem puts His spirits over them always to make sure that their body, their clothing and their houses are always in good look. But when a person is going to make any sins, like the sin that we mentioned of Lashon Hara, then it will be a blemish on his flesh or on his clothing or on his house to show to everybody that Hashem is not with him anymore. And that is the reason why you get a nega. According to this, the idea of Tzoraz is not like other sicknesses that's already predestined when it's going to leave. Tzoraz, the affliction of Tzoraz is totally dependent on the person. If a person is going to do tshuva, is going to repent, and is going to change his ways, then right away the Tzoraz is going to leave. And if a person doesn't change his ways, then the Tzoraz is going to continue. According to this idea, that the Tzoraz is totally dependent on the person and it's not dependent on Hashem, meaning that Hashem gives the Tzoraz on the person because he misbehaved. And as soon as the person behaves well, then Hashem automatically takes away the Tzoraz. Sefer Shemeroish says, we understand the language in the Pasuk, meaning that our first question was regarding Pasuk number 3, that the Pasuk says that the Kohen should see, v'hine nirpa nega ha-tzoraz min ha-tzarua, and behold, it was healed, the tzoraz from the metzora. It should have said that the tzoraz was healed, or it should have said that the person, the metzora, was healed from the tzoraz. And the answer is that the pasuk is trying to emphasize and teach you something totally different. The Torah is telling you, v'hine nirpa nega tzoraz, and behold, the tzoraz became healed. In other words, it changed its status suddenly. It was not destined to change its status, but it changed its status suddenly. You know why? Because min hatzarua, because the whole nega is totally dependent on the metzora. The person who sins and speaks Lashon Hara, he is the one that causes the tzoraz to come on himself. As soon as he stops doing that, then the tzoraz is totally healed. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'hina nirpa nega tzoraz." You know why this tzoraz became healed? Because min hatzarua, because the whole tzoraz came only because of tzarua. Then it's totally dependent on the tzarua to heal the tzoraz. So if the tzarua is going to do tshuva and is going to take upon himself that he's not going to speak Lashon Hara and is going to repent and feel remorseful for what he spoke and what he caused pain to others, then the tzoraz is going to be healed. But if he doesn't do it, then it's not going to be healed. Then it's totally dependent on him. The Torah is making sure that you know that the whole tzoras comes because of the person speaking Lashon Hara or doing the other things the Gemara says. It's totally dependent on this person. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Vehine, behold, nirpo nega tzoras." We see that the tzoras became healed. You know why it became healed? Because mina tzarua, because it's totally dependent on the tzarua. And since now this tzoras is totally dependent on the person, meaning that the person is in total control when this tzoras is going to go away, therefore the Torah tells you that you have to go to the Kohen, meaning that Rav Wolf Mistakov brings down that it's an interesting thing. This person who spoke Lashon Hara spoke the truth when it was painful, and here he goes to the Kohen, where the Kohen speaks a lie in order to bring Shalom. So you see that this Kohen is going to teach this person the tricks of when you should speak the truth and when you should lie, that certain times a lie in order to bring Shalom, in order to cause peace, is better than the truth when it's painful. Because in our case, this Metzora spoke the truth and it caused pain to somebody else, it shamed somebody else, it caused fights and strife. And yet the Kohen, not only he doesn't say the truth when it hurts somebody, he actually says a lie in order to bring peace between people. So this Kohen is going to be very sensitive to the speech that this person spoke. Therefore, we make sure that this person, when he has a tzoras, he should come to the Kohen, that the Kohen should see this tzoras. Like that, they will find out what he spoke and why this tzoras came. The Kohen is going to teach him the proper way of speech, that you should only speak things when its proper time comes. And like that, the Metzora is going to be healed. Because if the Kohen teaches him what this tzoras came from, the proper way of speech, then the sickness, which is totally dependent on this Metzora repenting, will repent. Like that, the tzoras will be totally healed. I wanted to answer the idea why a Metzora goes to a Kohen, besides this idea that the Kohen is going to have to teach him how to do proper speech, but why not go to a rabbi? Why not go to a Talmid Chacham? Why go to the Kohen? And the answer is because it's in the Kohen's own self-interest, meaning that the Kohen's self-interest is that the Metzora should learn proper speech, meaning that the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesamet Beis 9b, says that Mikdash Sheni Shayu Oiskim Betoyre Mitzvahs Gemiras Chasadim, that even though the second temple people were involved in making Torah, mitzvahs, and acts of kindness, Biplei Machorev, why was it destroyed? The Gemara answers that the reason it was destroyed, even though people were doing Torah, mitzvahs, and acts of kindness, is Mipnei She'oiso Bois Sinas Chinam, because they had gratuitous hatred, meaning that they had hatred for one another without reason. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash because of the sin of Sinas Chinam. I wanted to say that this could be the reason why the Metzora has to come to the Kohen, meaning that the Metzora speaks Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is one of the biggest causes of Sinas Chinam, because you give derogatory remarks on somebody else, even though it's true, that causes hatred between people for no reason, because why should you say those words? So Lashon Hara is the main source of Sinas Chinam. And since Lashon Hara is going to cause the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, and once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Kohanim don't have any work to do. The Kohanim lose technically their job. Therefore, the Torah is telling the Kohen that whenever you see a Metzora, the Kohen is required to go out to the Metzora to make sure that the Metzora learns the lessons of proper speech. Like that, you're able to combat sin as chinam, you're able to combat that sin that caused the destruction of the temple and that caused for us not to have a temple till today, because only that way you'll be able to assure that Beis HaMikdash will continue. By the Kohen teaching proper speech to the Metzoyre, then will ensure that the Beis HaMikdash will continue, because then the Kohen is reverting the sin as chinam to Ahav as chinam, changing gratuitous hatred to gratuitous love, because once the Metzoyre learns that he could lie in order to bring peace to people, then the Metzoyre is going to be active in bringing gratuitous love, in causing shalom and harmony in coming to the world. So according to this, the fact that the Metzoyre comes to the Kohen is not Kohen doing a favor to the Metzoyre, is actually the Kohen doing a favor to himself, that the Kohen, if he wants to continue if a Beis HaMikdash, has to make sure that everybody around him speak proper speech and do not speak Lashon Hara, because if they speak Lashon Hara and if they have sin as chinam, then the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. The best way, the best antidote for the sin of Lashon Hara is for the Kohen to get involved, because the Kohen is the one person in the community, number one, that he knows the rules of speech, that he knows that you could lie in order to make peace. And second, he has his self-interest that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be standing. Like that, he'll be able to perform the service. He'll be able to continue serving Hashem directly by the Beis HaMikdash. Then Sefer Shemen Roish goes back to our original question, what's so special about the gate of Niknoir? Meaning that we mentioned that all the doors in the Beis HaMikdash, the hollow between the doors, meaning the width of the doors, were sanctified that nobody could get close to it. The only one that was not sanctified is the Shar Niknoir, is the gate of Niknoir. The question is, what's so special about the gates of Niknoir that the rabbis decided not to sanctify it in order that a Metzoyre is able to get close to it and be able to put his ears inside the Beis HaMikdash? The answer, Sefer Shemen Roish, is based on the whole story behind the gates of Niknoir. Meaning that the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph says that Niknoir Nasal Nisim Ledasos Seyem, there was a miracle done to its doors. The Gemara asked, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbi said, Ma Nisim Nasal Ledasos Seyem, what miracles were done by the doors of Niknoir? The Gemara says, Kishaholach Niknoir Lehavid Dalsois Alexander Shamitzraim, when Niknoir went to Alexandria, which is in Egypt, to get these beautiful copper doors, these doors were solid copper, they were very beautiful, and Niknoir decided to get them all the way from Alexandria in Egypt. Bachazirosoi, when he was coming back, he was coming on a ship, Omadolov Nachshu Shabiyam Letavoi, a sea wave, a sea gale, was getting ready to sink him, meaning that the ship was in danger because the sea was raging. Not lu achas mehem, the sailors of the ship wanted to lighten the weight of the ship, so they took one of the doors, vetilu leyam, and they threw it in the sea. But still, even though they lightened the weight, still did not help. The gale was still strong, and vaday lo nocha yam ezamoy, the sea did not rest from its rage. Bikshu la'atles chaverto, the sailors decided that let's lighten up a little more the weight, let's throw the other door, because there were one set of doors, which is two doors. Omadhu, Niknoir went, vekorcho, and wrapped himself around this door. Omaluhem, Niknoir says, hitilanu ima, throw me with the door, meaning that if you are going to throw this door into the sea, then throw me with it. So they didn't do that. Yad, as soon as he said those words, the sea became quiet from its rage, and it was quiet. So Hayom Itztayer Chaverto, Niknoir now was upset that he allowed one of the doors to be thrown into the sea. He was so upset. So Kivin Shegia Lenemala Shel Akoi, as soon as he came to the seaport of Akoi, Hayom Mevatzvet says Veyotze Mitachas Dafne Asina, he saw the first door poking out from under the walls of the ship, meaning that when it flew down, it was embedded into the ship and it was connected to the ship. So as soon as he got there, both doors came with him. Ve'yesh omrim, somebody says, there are other who interpret that was a miraculous occurrence. Be'yesh shebiyam balatoy, there was a creature of the sea that swallowed this door. Ve'kiyos aleyabosho, and he spit out this door into the dry land. In other words, because he felt so bad, Hashem made a miracle that a sea creature swallowed this door and it came close to the dryness and it spit out. The same idea of Yonah was swallowed by a whale. This door was swallowed by a sea creature and was spit out into the dryness. Then Nicanor was able to bring his doors. The Gemara says, continues, Lefikach, therefore, kol ha-sha'arim shoyeh b'migdash, all the gates that were in the Beis HaMikdash, nishtanu liyois shazav, that all the gates of Beis HaMikdash changed and became gold, chutz meshar Nicanor, besides the gates of Nicanor, that the oil is left in the original state, mipnei shenase boinisim, because there was a miracle done of them. In other words, a miracle happened to the gates of Nicanor. Therefore, the rabbis, when they changed all the gates and they made all the gates of gold, Nicanor they left in its original state because they wanted everybody to remember this miracle. Sefer Shemen Roish says that this idea of Nicanor is a very deep idea and it's not just a simple story. Therefore, the rabbis decided to leave this door as the main entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. The main entrance to the Beis HaMikdash was Shar Nicanor, which is in the eastern side when you come in to the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea behind it is the following, that we know that when we're coming in to do the service of Hashem, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, tries to prevent us. He brings a lot of different excuses. The excuses are as large as the sea, as large as the waves of the sea, and the Satan's main purpose is to cause us to sink on the sea. And therefore, a lot of times, you should know that you aren't going to be able to overcome. You are going to throw away what you want to do, meaning your commitment to Hashem is not going to be so strong, and you are going to throw away, you are going to let that go. But eventually, if you decide that you're going to do Mesiras Nefesh, that you're going to have a self-sacrifice, that no matter what, you are willing to die and not go over your commitment, then Hashem will help you, that you are going to prevail in the same way that Nicanor did. Meaning, as soon as the sea started raging, Nicanor decided to forego one door. They took one door and they threw that door out, meaning that you are going to forego certain things and you are going to let the Satan convince you. But once Nicanor decided through his Mesiras Nefesh that he is not going to let go of other door and is willing to die in order to keep this door, at that point the sea quieted. The sea realized that it cannot conquer you. Then the Yetzer Hara lets you go and lets you perform the service. If you have true Mesiras Nefesh for the service of Hashem, then Hashem lets you do the service. And therefore, not only did Nicanor get to keep the door that he was working, once you work with Mesiras Nefesh, Hashem will let you keep even that thing that you lost previously. That door that you gave up, that you didn't have enough strength to withstand the Yetzer Hara, that door you will get back. In the same way that Nicanor felt bad about what happened to that door, he felt such remorse and did such tshuva for letting the other door go, that Hashem made a miracle and that door reappeared and was given to him. In the same way is your service to Hashem. The rabbis realized that the message behind what happened to Nicanor is the message that happens to every person every day, that a person wants to do the service of Hashem, but the Yetzer Hara blocks his way, and the Yetzer Hara sometimes convinces him, and sometimes is able to take away that door. But if he decides with Mesiras Nefesh that he is going to withstand and stand against the Yetzer Hara, then Hashem will make a miracle, and Hashem will help, that even that thing that he lost, he'll be able to regain and he'll be able to complete the service to Hashem. Sefer Shemen Rosh continues and says that this could be the idea why specifically these doors were found by Alexander Shel Mitzrayim, meaning that these doors were specifically in Egypt, meaning that when we left Egypt, according to the Arizal, we were in the 49th level of Tuma and we didn't deserve to be redeemed. Hashem told us that we are required to make the Passover offering. We are required to take the 10th of Nisan, the Passover offering, and risk our lives in order to sacrifice it, because the Passover offering was considered a god to the Egyptians, since they worshipped the lamb. But nonetheless, we were willing to go with Mesiras Nefesh, we were willing to do self-sacrifice and risk our lives for the commandment of Hashem. Therefore, we merited that we left from the 49th level of impurity and we got to the 49th level of purity. We got so high that we received the Torah, and that was only propelled because of our Mesiras Nefesh, our self-sacrifice, willing to die for the commandment of Hashem, because the Egyptians were going to be upset that we are killing their God. The Passover lamb is considered their God, but nonetheless, we were willing to go and self-sacrifice. We not only gained what we did bad, we actually were able to go up all the way and receive the Torah. So the idea of Mitzrayim shows that self-sacrifice could change things. The same way that the gates of Niknoir, after he threw them out, but he did Mesiras Nefesh, he gained those gates back, so too Mitzrayim teaches us the same idea, that we're able to be in the 49th level of Tumah 1 minute, but if we commit ourselves and do self-sacrifice in order to follow the word of Hashem, then we could reach new heights and we could even be worthy to receive the Torah again. Therefore, the rabbis, when they changed all the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, decided to keep the doors of Niknor intact, because the rabbis wanted the people who come to the Beis HaMikdash to have this message. One, that in order to do the proper service of Hashem, it requires to have Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice. You require to be willing to risk anything to do the service of Hashem. And number two, that even though you fell and you were in the 49th level of Tumah, you are able to propel yourself and raise yourself if you do the proper service. And that is particularly the message for the Metzora, meaning that the rabbis realize that this Metzora may feel himself as an outcast and give up on everything, because since this Metzora has to be 7 days outside all the encampments, and he actually has to put a sign, Tome, Tome, Yikra, he has to proclaim to everybody that he is Tome, then he may feel that he's an outcast and there is no way for him to reconnect himself to the Jews, that the Jews are always going to feel that he's an outcast. Therefore, the rabbis tell this Metzora, when his purification process, that he has got to go to Shar Niknoir. Shar Niknoir will teach him that since those gates come from Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim we were all outcasts, we are all in the 49th level of impurity, nonetheless we are able to reach the highest level of purity. So too this Metzora, even though he was an outcast, he was outside the encampment and everybody knew that he is an outcast, nonetheless he is able, through his self-sacrifice, to reach the highest level of purity. And also, this Metzora may think that once he sinned, there is no way for him to rectify what he did wrong, and therefore he won't be able to have a tikkun, he won't be able to have a fixing of his bad deed. Therefore we take him to Shar Niknoir, where Niknoir lost his first door, but after he decided to give Mesiras Nefesh, to do self-sacrifice and risk himself for the second door, he regained his first door. That this Metzora, if now he decides through Mesiras Nefesh that he is not going to speak Lashon Hara, he's only going to give good words on another Jew and not speak derogatory remarks, then he will be able to regain what he did bad, and Hashem will make it that he'll be able to atone for those bad things that he did. Therefore, according to Sefer Shemen Roish, the rabbis decided that Shar Niknoirs will not be sanctified completely as the other doors, meaning that the hollow of the doors will not be sanctified. Like that, the Metzora is able to come through this door and is able to get an uplifting message regarding his situation. According to this idea of the Sefer Shemen Roish, that the fact that the doors came from Mitzrayim is teaching the Metzora an uplifting message, I wanted to say that the doors coming from Mitzrayim could be teaching the Metzora a different message, meaning that this Metzora received his tzoras, his affliction, because he spoke Lashon Hara. He spoke derogatory remarks against another Jew. This Metzora clearly did tshuva, clearly repented on what he said, and the proof is that he was healed from his tzoras. But this Metzora may think that this is not so important, that this doesn't have such harsh ramifications, meaning that he repented on what he said to another person, but it's not such a harsh crime. Therefore, the rabbi said that if we are doing a purification process in this Metzora, we want him to know how deep this Lashon Hara could go, meaning that we know by the story of Yosef that Yosef spoke Lashon Hara on his brothers. On Vayeshev, chapter 37, verse number 2, there it says, Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el aviyem. Yosef brought the evil reports of his brothers to the father. That caused their brothers to become jealous and become angry at Yosef. So much so that they eventually wanted to kill Yosef, and eventually they changed their mind and they sold Yosef. Yosef was sold to Egypt, and because Yosef was in Egypt, therefore all the Jewish people eventually ended up in Egypt. Meaning that the Lashon Hara that Yosef spoke caused us to eventually become slaves in Egypt, even though he only spoke on the brothers, but that eventually had ramifications that the whole Jewish people were in Egypt, and we fell so much that we fell to the 49th level of Tumah. And that is the message that we are telling to the Metzora. Don't think that your actions are just against one person and there is no ramifications. Be very careful that don't fall back in your ways and speak Lashon Hara, because your Lashon Hara could have ramifications all the way down to Mitzrayim. And that's why when this Metzora is getting purified, we take him to this Shar Niknor, which came from Egypt, to teach him this important lesson, that this Lashon Hara that he speaks could have very damaging, unforeseeable repercussions. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should not speak Lashon Hara. We should learn from Aharon that we should always try to bring people closer together. And if we do that, then we're able to revert the Sinas Chinam. If we revert the Sinas Chinam, then we're able to bring Mashiach. Mashiach will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Bimheira b'yomeinu. Amen.